Exodus chapter 1, verse 1.
Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah; Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin; Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already.
Okay, now here we're studying the book of Exodus. And when we're finishing, now here we're reading the book of Exodus. As soon as we finish Genesis chapter 50th, then we know that Joseph dies. Joseph lived 110 years and he died. When Joseph died, all the brethren and everybody died, and it's a long time now. And so we are starting from the beginning. The word of God says, how many people went to Egypt? The 70 people went to Egypt. And the Benjamin is the youngest one, but the Benjamin's list is given near the Leah's children. Why? Because Leah was the real wife, and all other ladies were just the handmaids. Rachel had the handmaid, Bilhah, and Leah had the handmaid, Zilpha. So when we read, all these children are mentioned with the Leah's children. Benjamin is listed with the Leah's children. And then all other children, they are listed afterward, like a Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. Those people are concubine children. So all total, 70 people came, and the word of God said Joseph and his family was already there. Now somebody will say, why all these people came to Egypt? And as you know, there was a famine, not only in Egypt, but also in Canaan. And so now, this is God's doing. Because if you remember, God told Abraham that your children are going to go to Egypt and stay there at least 400 years. And then I'll bring them back. Just go to Genesis chapter 15 and start reading from verse 13 to 16.
And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full.
Here it says, the people who were living in the Canaan right that time, their iniquity or their sin was not yet fulfilled. So God says, the time will come, and this people's sin will fall, and then I will bring you back. And how many years? Now, if you remember, one time it says 400 years, and one time it says fourth generation. Now, many people have problem with the generation. Some people are saying 70 years is a generation. Some people start saying 40 years is a generation, 55 years is a generation. But here we see 100 years becomes one generation. It says, after 400 years or the fourth generation, I will bring you out of Egypt. When I bring you out of Egypt, that time you will come with a prosperity. And someone would say, why these people has to go to Egypt, and why God told Abraham that your people will go to slavery? That looks like a mystery. But when we were studying the book of Genesis, and when we came to chapter 15, I tried to explain at that time, Abraham made some mistake. When God told him to do the sacrifice time is an evening sacrifice. But he got the sacrifice in the noontime. And when he did the sacrifice and all the vultures and all the birds start coming to destroy the sacrifice. And Abraham started running back and forth, chasing the birds. And finally he got so tired and fell asleep. And darkness fell upon him. And he got scared. Why he was scared? Maybe he understood that he did something wrong and God is going to punish him. Everything is written in chapter 15. So at that time, God says, because of this, your children are going to go to bondage for 400 years. Sometimes we go ahead of God that God should bless us. God told him, I'm going to bless you. When God says something to do, you should know what is the will of God. Abraham knew before. He did so many sacrifices to God. But this time he was hurrying because God was promising him the land as well as the children. So he thought, I need a fast answer. So let me do the fast sacrifice. We have to wait upon the Lord and see what God wants from our life. We cannot do hastily something which is not pleasing in the sight of God. And that's the reason I am thinking that God told Abraham at that time, you're going to die in old age, but after that I'm going to take your children to the Egypt. Then Isaac died and Jacob was 130 years old. That's the time there was a famine in the Canaan. Joseph is already in the Egypt, and that's the time Jacob goes with the 70 people to Egypt. Okay, let's go back to the book of Exodus, chapter 1, and start reading from verse 6.
And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them.
Now, here we see, it says Joseph died, his brethren died, and most of the people who are elderly people or first time came to Egypt, those people died and year passed, so nobody knew who the Joseph was and what these Hebrew people are. Only they found out the Hebrew people are more than us. And the word of God says, if you read the verse 7, it says, the children of Israel were fruitful, increased abundantly, multiply, waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now see, you could have said in a short word, these Israeli people were multiplied. Now, they are living in foreign land, but they are fruitful and they are increasing abundantly. They are multiplying, waxed exceedingly mighty, and not only that, they fill the land with Israeli people. And this is a foreign land. These Israeli people are really fruitful, blessed people of God. And they were multiplying. And so when you're multiplying, and not ordinarily, you're not like a sickling and disease and having problem, but it says they multiply mightily. Looking at the children of Israel, they were healthy people, strong people, mighty people, and fruitful. Means each and every Israeli family was blessed. There was not a single Israeli person was saying, I don't have children, I don't have health, and I'm having problem. Not a single person was complaining. But the Egyptians, looking at Israeli people, look at these people, strong built, and our people are wrinkling, sickly, very weak people. If sometime there is some kind of disagreement or war between us and these people, then what happens? They might join with somebody, and they might overpower us. That's what the fear came to this Egyptian people. Read the verse 8.
Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we.
Now see, he says the new king came. I don't know how many king came, but they're supposed to read the history. This king did not know the history of the land. In America, do you know how many children go to college and high school, but they do not know the real history of America? They are learning some junky stuff, but they do not know the founders and history. You go and take the names of the old presidents and tell some college student, give me the 10 or 15 names of the old presidents, they would not know. Why? They are not studying. They are not concerned. So this Pharaoh doesn't know anything about how these people came there and who was their leader and what Joseph did. And so he was looking at these people. So they are not Egyptians. They are Hebrews. And they came to our land somehow, and they are living in our land, and we see difference between them and us. They are strong and we are not. They are healthy and we are not. They are prosperous and we are not. They are fruitful and we are not. And so they have beautiful land and we don't. Because Joseph gave the very best land for his brethren. And so they are a little bit jealous, and they are afraid that these people are mighty. They are saying they are more than us. Not only that, they are mightier than us. So that was their problem. But if they are not causing any problem to you, you don't have to worry. Most of the people, for example, if you go to Europe, they allow these Muslim people to come. And the Muslim people now thinking to dominate the Europe. They said now they have a new rule. Anyone comes from foreign land, and even that their children is born in London, they cannot be citizens. Why? Because they come to know these people are not good people. They come and they want to take over. That's the kind of thing we see in Egypt. These people are saying, Egyptians are saying, this king is saying, these people are, Israeli people are very mighty and they are strong and they are more than us. So we have to find out, get rid of these people. Let's read the verse 10.
Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land.
Now here he's saying, get them out of the land, but some other translation says, they will leave the land. They were not saying, get rid of these people. They wanted these people in their land. They don't want to get rid of these people, but they wanted these strong and healthy people. We can use them as a slave, and they are useful to us. They don't want to get rid of this. If they wanted to get rid of this and Moses comes and says, let me go, they would have said, we are trying to get rid of these people. Go. But they were not doing that. Here it sounds like that, but they were saying they will go themselves. They will fight with us, they will be friendly with our enemies, and they will fight with us, and they will run away. But they didn't want that to be happening. Verse 11.
Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Python and Ramses.
They got an idea. These people are living here. They are our slaves. Let's make them to make something. So they will build the two cities, Python and Ramses. Ramses is a very famous city. But why they making this city? This city is like a business center. They want to do some kind of, I don't know, just in modern language, factories and some kind of business so they can prosper. So they said, we can take these people and get the taskmasters, not ordinary supervisor or ordinary people to lead these people. We want strong-minded people. Do you know some people are very cruel? They can beat you up and they can kick you and they don't feel any pain, any guilt at all. And they enjoy giving trouble or harming people and they don't feel guilty. And so they wanted a certain kind of people that strong-minded, they don't feel bad if they harass these people and take the job from them and tell them to build these cities. And now we saw in the movies, Ten Commandments and other movies, what kind of work they were doing. Very strong, big, giant stone, and how they were doing the work and how they were persecuted. When you look at it with your eyes, then you get the idea what kind of torture. But this was just the movie. But they really tortured these people to make these two famous cities, and this is a treasure city. Actually, the cities can make a treasure for them or bring some profit to them, and those the kind of city they were making. Verse 12.
But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel.
Now, he says, more they afflicted them, the more they multiply and grew. They wanted these people harass them, persecute them, so they will be softer, they will be sometimes give up and run away. If you're working in some company or some factory and they don't like you, and you're working there for a long period of time, and they want to get rid of you, they're not going to tell you, we're going to let you go. If you say that, what did I do? And so instead of that, they start harassing them. Give more job, more hours, and give them more and more and more work. So when you bombarded with the work, instead of they firing you, you said, I'm giving up. And they run away or they just give up their jobs. And that's the tactic these people were using. They thought we start harassing these people, they will go. See, in America, the people were coming from Spanish countries and other countries and coming here and getting jobs and cheaper jobs and things like that. And so when we start making the tough rules and send them back and tell the company people, if you hire them, we will punish you. Or if you rent them a house, we will punish you. So what happened? Most of the people, without deporting them, start leaving the country. And so this is what happens. And these people wanted these Israeli people to get out of their country. Even the one by one or little by little, harass these people so they will leave. But instead of their leaving, the word of God says they start multiplying more. And so they didn't know what to do. Verse 12.
But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel.
Now, more they afflict them, more they grew, and multiply and start growing. And so they start thinking, we start harassing these people, and they multiply more than before, so they start having more problem to themselves. They are grieved. They say, what we do now? We thought we can destroy these people, but now they are multiplying more, and they don't care. They are hardworking people. They are not getting sick. They are not getting problems. We are having problems, and these people are still multiplying, and they don't know what to do, so now they are trying to make some kind of problems, more problems. Verse 13.
And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service, wherein they made them serve, was with rigor.
Now, when these Egyptians start saying, these people are not getting tired or angry or frustrated, so what we do? Give them more hard work and take more labor Now they were doing only brick building and things like that and building the houses. Now he said, let's let them work in our houses, maybe janitors, maybe in the field, taking care of animal, and do all kinds of cheaper job or dirty job or any job, and let these people do, and they're trying to harass them such a way that these people never work this kind of work, and now they have to work this job. If you don't, they will have more problem. And this is what people sometimes do. If you are a manager or if you are a supervisor, and they will say, oh, we have a financial problem, and we fired some of the people, and they were just a clerk, or they were just doing something. Now you have to do their job, because we don't have those people, we cannot hire them. And so the people say, hey, I'm a manager, I'm a supervisor, why should I go and do the janitor's job if he didn't come today? And so they start doing this kind of tactic on these people, but didn't work. Verse 15.
And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live.
Now see, they got that idea. These people are multiplying. So what we're going to do, we are going to tell the midwife nurses, when we go to deliver the babies, kill the man child. Kill all the children, male children. And keep the girls only. If the more ladies are there and their mans are dead, then we can marry their children, or then we will be stronger and healthier. And that's what they were thinking. And here the two ladies' names are given. But when you think about these two midwives, they are hired by Pharaoh. That means they are working for Pharaoh. But do you know who they are? They are Israelis. They are Jewish ladies. So Jewish ladies are having a job like a nurse or doctors, and they are working for the Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is saying, you know what? When you go to deliver the children of Israel, means ladies, when they are pregnant, what you do? Kill the man child. So these Hebrew ladies thinking, how can I kill my own people? And so they were thinking, they might be praying to God, Lord, what are we going to do? This is the order to kill the Israeli children. And we are Israeli, what do you call, midwives. God look at her heart, and she might be, one might be head nurse and one might be assistant nurse, we don't know. But these both ladies decided, you know what? Whatever the Pharaoh says, we are not going to obey him. And Bible says, obey your higher authorities. Now here the lady says, I'm not going to obey them. So how it works? You have to obey the higher authority than government. The word of God says, obey your parents. But your parents start telling you to cheat, lie, rob, or do harm to somebody, that you don't listen. The word of God says, obey your parents in the Lord. The same way, if our government says, tomorrow, don't go to church. In America, what we do? Listen to them? No. Give your life. I would say, tell everybody, go to your neighborhood and tell everybody, start prayer and Bible study. Government is not going to arrest everybody. They won't be in jail. The point I'm making, we have to learn to obey God. Now, this lady's life was on the line. They disobey Pharaoh, they will be killed. Today, in America, we start killing the babies. First of all, they start doing abortion for all children. You know what? China, they just killing the girls. And India, they killing the girls. So we should do the same. And now in America, certain places, they start killing the girls. So here, they were not killing the girls, they were killing the boys. It's completely opposite. But see what God is doing. Once these midwives start praying and saying, we're going to be united. Head nurse, assistant nurse, let's get together and let's not kill any Israeli babies. Otherwise, one is doing and one is going and telling Pharaoh, I want to do these things, but my supervisor doesn't want to do it, and they will get into trouble. So they have to have unity. All the Christians, when they united stand, then nobody can do harm to us. Look at the Muslims. If you go to Muslim neighborhood and you punch one Muslim person, what will happen? All 2,000 Muslims will come to your house next day. But here, somebody comes and beats Christian and harass Christian, no Christian will come out of the door. Here the man is saying, kill the man child. But these girls are saying, we are not going to kill. We are not going to listen to government. We are listening to God. And once you listen to God, God comes to rescue you. Let's read a little bit further.
But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive?
Now see, they knew this is what is coming. What Jesus said, if somebody drags you to court, don't be afraid. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit will remind you what to say. Don't be afraid to anybody. And this lady is new. Now Pharaoh is calling, we are dead. They are going to kill us. But they were so courageous because they fear God. When you fear God, when we love God, and God and you, you are majority. The whole world can be one side, and you are God, nobody can do any harm to you. And that's what it is. You have to have God in your side. When God is in your side, I don't care the company, the world, whole world goes against you. If God is with you, nothing will happen. I tell these people, don't look at the problem. Go to God. And God will take care of your problem. And it works all the time. Okay, now here look what these girls are doing. They are called to the Pharaoh. And see what kind of answer they are giving to Pharaoh. Please read verse 19.
And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them.
Before we go, when we get the call, the lady is having labor pain, and we go there, those days there is no car or no fast vans or anything like that. They have to go by maybe donkey or maybe walk. So when they are in labor, we go, and before we go, they are already delivered the babies. That's not the only thing they have to say. But they added something. They said, you know what? The Hebrew ladies are not like Egyptian ladies. Egyptian ladies are very weak. And if you don't go on time, they might die. But the Hebrew ladies, they are strong. They are healthy. When call comes to us, such and such a house has the babies going to be delivered, and come. Before we go, the baby is already born. What can we do? And I was thinking, when the Pharaoh gives the command, any midwife comes to you, they are going to kill your male child. And if you are a Hebrew girl and pregnant and ready to deliver the baby, are you going to call the midwife? They know the midwife are Jewish ladies, but they have a rule. They might kill my baby. And so they might not call him. Very dangerous situation only, they might call. And so God did the favor both ways. I don't think they were lying. They were telling the truth. Before we go, the Hebrew ladies are already delivered the child. That's why sometimes I tell the ladies, when the doctor says you're going to have a C-section, the baby is cross and this and that, I said, look at the Hebrew ladies. They did not... we have a lot of labor pain and please call the midwife and things like that. They deliver the baby without a problem. They might have problem, but they could not call. You know, some of the ladies, when they're giving the birth, they cry so loud, 10 houses can hear it. If they're in the house, in the hospital, at least they have, what do you call, soundproof rooms. They cry so loud to give the birth. The birth pain is like a death pain. And so these ladies might be saying, Lord, you have to help me to deliver the child, otherwise somebody is going to come and kill my child. And so midwife said, our girls, our Hebrew ladies are not like an Egyptian lady. That makes Pharaoh maybe so mad. They told the truth. We are delivering your babies and they are dying. Your baby's dying, your ladies are dying, but we are trying to help Hebrew lady. Before we go, they are deliver the babies. Our ladies, the Israeli people, are strong, healthy ladies. And they deliver the baby, healthy baby, without our help. Okay, let's read verse 20.
Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses.
Now see here what happened. God honored this lady's testimony. God says, you did a great thing. Standing before the Pharaoh and talking so boldly, not afraid of Pharaoh, I'm going to do favor to you. And what God did, God says, one thing I'm going to do, multiply people. Before anybody comes to deliver, they will be delivering baby, and they will be very mighty children, mighty family. Nobody can kill them. Nobody can destroy them when they are baby. And so, not only that, God says, you know what? You did a good thing. I'm going to do a favor. In this verse, it doesn't make sense when you do the translation. It says, and he made them houses. He means what? Not a Pharaoh. God made them houses. I mean, they were not living in an open field. But he made them houses means these nurses may be not married at that time. They might be young ladies. They got good husbands. They got good children. They got good families. And they got houses. And they got money. And they prosper. That's why he said they got houses. Means God blessed the families. They got everything what they needed. And though anybody can see, look at these nurses. They are flourish. They have a lot of money. They build the houses. They have good husbands. They have good children. And everybody is doing good. What is the reason? Because they were fearing God and not fearing the Pharaoh and doing everything to pleasing God. So what we're learning? If you fear God, if you love God, if you're not afraid of your boss, if you're not afraid of king, you're not afraid of anybody, if you are not committing any sin, God will bless you. If the government said, oh, you should not be reading Bible or having prayer meeting, you should just close the doors and throw the Bible away. No. I'll be going to every Christian home and say, hey, read the Bible, pray. And if they come to harass you, let's go to jail reading the Bible. And Peter was putting in jail, and they came in the morning and Peter disappeared. So God did a miracle then. The same God can do miracle today. We do not have to do anything wrong, but we have to do the right thing, learning about God, teaching about God, and standing for God. The evil days are coming. So what we have to do, we have to pray, Lord, hasten your coming. Come and take us home. Or give us the holy boldness like these ladies. I'm not going to be afraid of anybody. I'm going to do the preaching. Do you know I preach the gospel in Hindu temples in front of all the Hindu idols? And I preach the gospel in the Muslim mosque? Now, if I do it today, they might be kill me instantly. But there also they came to kill me. They surrounded me all around. But I just like nothing happened. And I went away and did. God put the fear in their heart. Where are you going? Well, hold on, hold on. And I went. And they could not do anything. I had to move the two or three gates, metal gates. And I went there. And when I went there, I left the Bible. And I said to someone, lost my Bible there. Let me go and get the Bible. They say, oh, no, no, no. God saved your life. Don't go for the Bible. And next day, that same man, the Molbi, the Muslim leader, gets the Bible and brings to the post office the man who works in the telegraph office. He comes to the telegraph office and he says, do you know this person? And my name was printed in the Bible. He said, yes, that's my pastor. And that Muslim person didn't know what to do because he has to come here to do telegraph all the time. So he said, tell your pastor. We wanted to kill him. He came to preach in our mosque. How did I go? He's the one who invited me to kill me. But he said, we were not able to kill. Tell him you are a man of God and we are not going to touch you. So the point I'm making, I was bold then and I'm bold now. I did not give up boldness for God. I'm not afraid of anything or anyone. I live for God. So we have to have this kind of holy boldness. So what happened, these ladies? They prosper, their family prosper, and their houses prosper. And everybody can say, look at this house. Very luxurious house. How they get it? Because they are obeying God. Okay, let's go to the last verse. Verse 22.
And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, he shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive.
Now, Pharaoh is getting more crazier. He doesn't know what to do. Now, Pharaoh is saying, now we got a new idea. Before you go, the child is born. Okay. If the child is born, you go and take the child and throw it in the river. How many Israeli people are going to tell these people, hey, in my house, there is a child is born. Come and take it and throw it in the river. Nobody's going to say. So they might be not telling anybody that there is somebody, lady is pregnant, or they got a child, and they might be keeping and not allowing throwing the children. I was thinking, this I might be wrong, but I was thinking Moses was the only one child was thrown in the river. Not anybody was allowed. Not anybody was thrown. Why? Because God can protect. And God is going to protect Moses also. That we will be reading later on next week. But the point I'm making, God is the one who protects us, keeps us, and gives us grace in every situation. Now somebody might be thinking, oh, Pharaoh said, throw all the children in the river. They might be throwing millions of children in the river. They cannot, because there was a Nile River, and the ladies were coming, the Pharaoh's daughter was coming to take a bath. She was not coming once in a year. They're going every day, maybe twice a day or every day. And they might be, if they threw all the children, she might have found so many children in the river. But this is the first child she found. But anyhow, we'll be learning later on. I do not believe that thousands and thousands of children were died. Because God says, even though their nurses come to kill the baby, God protected. The same God is alive. He cannot allow his children to be thrown in the water. So God comes to rescue. Now here, the lady who made the law and fought to take the Bible out of the church, I'm sorry, Bible out of the school, do you know what happened? Her own son got saved, and now he's saying, my mother was wrong, I want to put the Bible back. Doctors and nurses, they found out, you know what, we were doing wrong, aborting the children, now we are not going to do it. And now the survey is saying, more people are against killing the baby, and the less people are killing the babies today. People allow criminal to live. In America, most of the state, they said, oh, we don't want death penalty. Death penalty is very cruel. Oh, yeah? Death penalty, who murdered hundreds of people or thousands of people, and killing them, killing that person is cruel, and the baby, innocent, and you killing that baby, and baby is crying, and you are hearing the sound and everything, that is not cruel. So some people are having some problem. So we have to say, the people who has God, they will never do such a thing. How can we prevent this? We have to make sure that the nurses and the doctors and the ladies who are pregnant get saved. When the lady is pregnant, talk about Jesus. Talk about babies. Talk how God can protect and your child can be blessed. If you don't want your child, you are poor and this and that, we'll make sure that your child will be taken care. In America, there are so many Christian organizations. They can take care of the ladies until they give the birth, and then they can take care of the child also. They don't know these things. We have to tell them, we have to pray with them, and we have to alert those people. So point I'm making here, our God is powerful. Our God is the one who protects, but only we have to take action. These two ladies saved all Israeli children. Only two ladies' names are given. In the whole country, two ladies can change the whole situation. We have how many children, Christian people, in America, around the world? Millions. What the Christian people are doing? Go to Sunday service church, spend 2 hours, run. They don't have any time. And some people do not have a job. I say, what are you doing? I'm busy. What are you doing? Are you talking to somebody about Jesus? Are you praying? Are you witnessing? Are you planning to bring one soul to church next Sunday? What are you doing? Get busy. Just dial phones and call and say, hello, how are you? Do you need a prayer? Can I pray for you? I don't believe in prayer. Don't pray and this and that. Okay, thank you, ma'am. I will be praying for you. You will see God will work it out in those people's heart. If we start praying for one soul, that soul will come to Christ. People are not taking burden. So let's pray. Shall we rise? Let's pray that if these two ladies can save thousands and thousands of people. Do you know how many people went to Egypt? 70 people. When they're coming out, almost 600,000 or 6 million people coming out. God did not allow these people to die like fools. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us grace. We are living in America, where we have freedom. Freedom to worship, freedom to go to church, freedom to do the Lord's work. And we want to take advantage before the devil comes and try to harass Christians. Give us grace to win souls for Christ. We dedicate our lives to you. Use us. We saw these ladies, they fear God and did according to the will of God. They got husbands, they got children, they got houses, and they were prosperous. You can do the same for your children. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.